Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Economists are sending warning to consumers in South Africa after a rate hike. We can definitely see a tremendous amount of strain all around us as people worry about inflation. Load shedding is impacting on our daily lives. What does this really mean to us? Professor Miriam Altman, Professor of FYR Practice and School of Economics at the University of Johannesburg. Good morning and thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So what does the situation look like in South Africa? I mean, we're understandably, I would imagine, worried.
Yeah, sure. Well, it's not looking good right now, as we know. Mm-hmm. It's not just the rate hike, of course. It's that, the economy was shrinking pre-COVID. We've had a bit of a bounce back. But, the numbers are coming through that do reflect in a weakening underlying economy. I think we know that. And I think the jobs numbers that we saw a couple of days ago, which showed declining jobs in the second quarter of the year, are a little bit probably more reflective of what's going on, which is of course a great concern.
And of course, that was before we ramped up load shedding to the extent that we have.
Well, load shedding has been carrying on since 2008.
Right.
So, The problems with Eskom have been ongoing for over 10 years now, for about 14 years, and it's been a harsh year, but the underlying issue is that these infrastructure owned enterprises, Eskom, Prosa, Transnet, really need to be reformed and strengthened, and we need more market participation really in those areas.
The problem, of course, is sometimes that we look at people overseas or we look at countries overseas and we make ourselves feel better because we say, oh, well, look what's going on in the UK with regard to the nervousness or the economy there with regard to interest rates. We look at Europe and we say, well, they're probably going to have power cuts during their winter because of what's happened in Russia and Ukraine. And we can't placate ourselves, but we've got all of those issues plus some, don't we?
Yeah, we've got nothing to placate ourselves with. Mm. At least we're not at war. We're not the Ukraine, right?
But, yeah, at least.
But, So, incredibly, inflation's incredibly high in Europe. Germany's 10%, UK's 9%. But those are developed countries, rich countries. So, if you think about Japan, for example, that became a wealthy country and then stagnated for many years, but the standard of living is extremely high. Mm. So they're not, as you're saying, they're not dealing with pre-existing, the most extreme inequality, the most extreme open unemployment in the world. So we've got nothing to placate ourselves about. Actually, what happens is that those situations make it harder for us because we have to respond to them. So rising interest rates, for example, which is what you opened with, that when Lesetse Kgatyho and the Reserve Bank raise interest rates, it's not even necessarily an issue of trying to dampen domestic demand to control inflation, but that other countries are now raising their rates, and therefore we, in a way, have to follow suit, because if we don't, the rand falls, and then the cost of imports rises, and then inflation rises.
Is there a sense that, we always talk about, our government always talks about the economy and creating jobs and all sorts of wonderful things when they get together, when they speak to us, but is there a sense that is there any action? Are there any actions that are matching the words?
Oh, sure. Remember that the delivery of government is very widespread. And, just as an example, there is progress in delivering on energy, as upset as we are about it. There is maintenance ongoing. There have been announcements and progress in signing up independent power producers and procuring energy and moving on battery storage, on introducing municipal involvement, enabling companies to build their own energy as well in the meantime, things like that. I'm just giving one example in one area, at a very important area, but certainly, we see signs of progress. in that way. You know, could it be faster? Yes, absolutely.
Right.
But it's not that everything is a mess, and you know, this narrative of a failed state and nothing is going right, it's just simply incorrect.
All right, so tell me why that narrative is incorrect, because I think we all need to hear this, and we want to hear it from somebody who knows what they're talking about. Why are we not a failed state?
Well, a failed state would put you in, say, a DRC.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a big difference.
Yeah, and look, we do live in a world of hyperbole, right? We're very fond of our hyperboles.
And you know, it's a bit of a national thing as well. We're a bit of a bipolar nation, let's just be honest. And we love extreme expressions of happiness about what's going on and extreme statements of negativity. it's a bit of a personality characteristic, if you will. So
right.
So we like to, you know, people like saying things like there's a failed state, but a failed state looks like Iraq,
right,
or it looks
right.
like, you know, now could it happen here? Sure.
Right.
But we're not there. And when you're in a country where you have free voice and you can speak your mind and get involved and you're not going to get shot or jailed, then, which is South Africa, is what I'm saying.
Right.
It's incumbent on all of us to be vigilant and to keep pushing and keep trying. The surest contribution to failure is for people to back out.
Sorry?
In a democracy where you have the opportunity to be involved in civic improvement, in pressurizing the state to do the right thing, etc.
And the fact that we can even have these conversations is proof, obviously, to the contrary. It is about to go 8:30. Thank you for that perspective and for giving us your perspective of the situation in the economy. Professor Miriam Altman, Professor of 4-Hour Practice in the School of Economics at the University of Johannesburg.